Blog Talk Radio.
And Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate the host about the sport that they love. We talk about NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, boxing, e-commerce, business, hip-hop, R&B. We can also talk about pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, camel racing, horse racing, mud wrestling, whatever you want to call in and talk about the sport of your choice. If I don't know about it, you can teach me about it. If you don't know about what I'm talking about, I can teach you about it. Anyway, let's get off into it. Today's show is NFL Recap and Monday Night Football Results Week 6. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of an audience listening globally. The hosts will discuss action from this past weekend in sports. The hosts will discuss NFL action from Week 6 and Monday Night Football. The hosts will discuss this weekend's result in boxing and Major League Baseball, National League Divisional Series, and American League Divisional Series. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, and we are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. This is WBEST Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right. Look like I got my man DC on here, one of the biggest professional armchair quarterbacks in the country here, calling out of Maryland. But we're going to get talk with him about his Baltimore Ravens, of course. But I want him to first, before I get too deep off into some football stuff, I want to talk about the National League Divisional Series and the American League Divisional Series of Major League Baseball. I want to talk about the big win, about the Padres. How did they pull it off, D.C.? I'm asking you, D.C., and I'm coming to you. I want you to tell me, how did the Padres pull off the upset against the Dodgers? How did they do it? Then I want you to talk to me about how did the Phillies pull off the upset against the Braves, and then we'll go off into the ALDS side. But anyway, I'm coming to you right now, DeVille. I'm coming to you right now, D.C. 5-4-3-2-1, 5-4-3-2-1, coming to you now. Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, first of all, I'm excited that your Padres pulled it out and was able to win the series, and I'm glad they took the Dodgers out. You know, I'll tell you that I think the manager had something to do with it, and you say, well, of course he did. He's the manager. I don't mean it that way. I mean the manager for the Padres. You know, I think he really ready the organization, the team, to be ready to go. You know, and things about it is, you know, I remember when he was a player. And so I just to be clear, I'm talking about Bart Melvin. And Bart Melvin was a catcher in baseball. He was a catcher for the Orioles. And he was a solid catcher. I mean, he could hit. He had power. You know, this is before the steroid era, but he was a catcher that could give you anywhere from 15 to 20 home runs a season, which is pretty good. You know, from that position, he was a solid player.
Okay.
And that's my point. He didn't play a lot. You know, because he wasn't, you know, as athletic as some of the other guys. But he was a very good catcher. And so I think he readied you guys for the playoffs. I remember watching the game and they showed a double play and how Bart Melvin got all excited and jumped up and down. And, you know, even the announcer was like, wow, Bart Melvin doesn't do that. Like, he's kind of a stoic guy. But I think he really let you, you know, and instilled in the team that, hey, you know, even if we don't do anything else, if we beat the Dodgers, we have, you know, that like you said earlier, it's our World Series. We beat the Dodgers. And then the fact that the Dodgers, you know, 111 wins and yet they lost, and the Padres had issues. You had the PED scandal, right? But yet, you know, it shows that what you do when you get in the playoffs matters. So I'm proud of
them. Well, I mean, that is just should be your secondary team. I mean, you did live here forever and went to many of their games, a season ticket holder. I mean, so I mean, you should. I figured you could celebrate with us. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and all those things are true. You're 100% correct. I mean, they are my favorite National League team, you know. And so, and then, of course, they have Manny Machado, which I like him as a player. Of course, he was with the Orioles. I was disappointed that he left, but I understood.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, the general manager, I'm quite sure, had a lot to do with that. I mean, the player just came up and packed his bags and said, hey, I'm going to just go and play somewhere else. I mean, if that was the case in sports, Russell Westbrook would have packed his bags already and left Los Angeles. It just don't work like that. Somebody traded Manny Machado.
I think for him it was a free agent deal. I think his, if I'm not mistaken, I think his rookie deal was expired, and he just went out on the free agent market.
On the market.
Yeah. And you know, the Orioles don't want to pay nobody. I mean, man, let me say this out wrong. So the Major League Baseball gave each team $100 million. The Orioles' total payroll was only $30 million. So they actually could have given some of their players extensions. And it wouldn't have even came out of, quote, their budget, right? Because baseball gave them $100 million. Instead, the one player they had that was making $7 million a year, they traded away. So when your team's payroll is below $100 million and baseball gave you $100
million. You were 70 right? in the black.
Exactly. Right? Even if you, so that's the point. So the highest paid Oreo that we had last year was he was a first baseman, was out for cancer the season before, and then he was the comeback player of the year. But the Orioles traded him, right? They traded him to Houston. And the all-star player that they have doesn't even make $1 million a year. His name is a young black dude. He don't even make $1 million a year. They're all-star player, right? So, I mean, you talk about a team being cheap. And Manny Machado was like, if y'all not going to pay me, I'm going to leave. And he did.
Well, let me guess you this here. How did Bryce Harper and the Phillies pull it off against the Braves? And on top of that, if I'm remembering right, I think Bryce Harper is originally from San Diego, if I'm remembering right. I think one of my good friends that played minor league baseball professionally, high level in Mexico, said he used to play against him here in San Diego in high school, if I'm remembering right. But that's kind of like beyond the point. But what do you think Bryce Harper going to do? How did he get the team past the Braves? How did they knock the Braves out, who went to the World Series last year, if I'm correct? And what are the key strategy against the Padres? Go ahead.
I don't think that Bryce Harper is going to lead the Phillies past the Padres. I think the key player for Philly will be Kyle Schwarber. I think Kyle Schwarber will be the key in this series. I do not think it'll be Bryce Harper. And in fact, I think if the Phillies do win a game, it'll be that kid Nola, the starting pitcher, that will get him a win.
The brother.
No, not that cat. Aaron Nola is a Caucasian guy. Yeah,
his brother play for the Padres.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
His brother played for the Padres. Yeah.
Right. But I think Nola is going to be the one to get a win for Philly, and I think that Kyle Schwarber will be the key to the series. I don't think it'll be Bryce Harper. Surprisingly.
I want to make sure I'm saying this right, because our Nola is the back catcher for the Padres. The other Nola is the brother for the Phillies.
I
think I'm correct on that.
Yes, you are. So I don't think it's going to be Bryce Harper, surprisingly. I really don't. I think it's going to be Schwarber. I think Schwarber's going to play well for them. One of the things about it is, because you're going to ask yourself the question, it's going to come down to, who do I pitch to? Do I pitch to Bryce Harper, or do I pitch to Kyle Schwarber? Right? And Schwarber didn't do well in the previous series, but I think he's going to rebound in this one.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this here. American League side, Yankees facing elimination. How did they get in this slump? How did they get in this rut against the Guardians? I mean, you know, Aaron Judge, you know, he was knocking them out the park on the way to hitting 62 regular season, breaking the record. So what happened? How are they in this rut facing elimination?
Because Aaron Judge. See, once you take out the key guy in the lineup, it forces everyone else to step up. And no one has stepped up because they're not even pitching the Judge for real. I mean, he hasn't even been really getting any real good pitches to hit. I mean, they've been nibbling on the strike zone, You know, they've been trying to put him in a scenario where he can't even produce. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, their other player, the Yankees, their other baller, who's really the man. I'm talking about, what's that guy's name? Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's really their guy, right? But Stanton has not been as successful this year as Aaron Judge. And Stanton's had a good year, but he hasn't killed it, right? I mean, he's only hitting, you know, he was only hitting like 211. He had 30 home runs, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't killing it, right? So
he's capable of killing it.
He's capable of killing it, but he hasn't been. And that's why the Yankees been struggling with Cleveland, is because they just been not letting Judge beat him and forcing Stanton to beat him. And Stanton's just not, he hasn't been producing, you know. And so I think that's the key. You know, one of the things about it is, you know, if you think back to Reggie Jackson, you think back to a lot of Hall of Fame players that showed up in the playoffs. They were the difference makers, right? Because both teams are good. And both, you know, both teams know that every pitch matters, every play matters. So the intensity is there, right? So the big deal is you got to make sure that if you're a star, you show up. Right, you can't be swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. You got to be ready to go. Right.
All right. Stand by 1 second, DeVille. Stand by 1 second, DC. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and this is your host Romero Ferran, aka the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning, and it is 8:17 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. We got my man, professional armchair quarterback, DC from Maryland, on the line, talking a little bit about Major League Baseball right now before we get off into some NFL stuff and why Lamar Jackson lost the game yesterday again. DC, before we move on to that topic, which I know is kind of touchy for you, but I'm going to come at you on that. But outside of the American League Divisional Series, what do you think about what's going on with the who was that, the Mariners and Houston? What's the situation there? I kind of got caught up in multiple sports this weekend. I can't remember that the Astros closed that out, or is that still going on? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a good question, because I too got caught up. I think that series is over. That the Astros, let me double check, because I don't want to speak.
This one we'll do. We want to get.
Yeah,
the Astros
swept them. That's what I thought. I just want to make sure. Yeah, the Astros swept them. It was that 18 inning game that 18 inning game that made the difference. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, Houston's a solid team. They got past that cheating scandal. I mean, Seattle played tough. It was a sweep, but it wasn't easy. That last game came down to 18 innings, and I do remember when Dude hit that home run he hit the home run to win the
Yard
game.
Alvarez.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like, and so, as a matter of fact, speaking of Houston, that's the player I'm talking about, Trey Mancini. You just reminded me of his name. Trey Mancini was the Orioles' leading most expensive player at $7 million a year, and they traded him. Dude ended up pancreas cancer, something like that, took a year off. The heal up from the cancer, came back, won Major League Baseball's Most Improved Player of the Year, actually made it to the Home Run Derby last year at the All-Star break. because he came back killing it. He came back killing the ball, and he made the home run derby. And then, so you got a cancer survivor make the home run derby, $7 million a year, which is still relatively cheap for a pro athlete. Then you let him go. You know, you let him go. You know,
they're training them for
minor league players that probably won't even make it to the major leagues.
Well, they just sound like basically a greedy owner and a general manager trying to keep his job, because that's the general manager's job, is to save the owner money. But speaking of Houston, that guy Yordan Álvarez, man, that's somebody who I hope the Padres don't have to deal with at all. I think I'd rather deal with the Yankees or the Guardians versus dealing with Yordan Álvarez, man.
I appreciate your confidence, my brother. But y'all need to still get past Philly. While you might be projected to beat Philly and all that, I get it. But you got to get by Philly, because you don't need Manny Machado getting in no huge slump, and then you guys not being able to get there. So you ask me.
Well, they took your advice. The Padres took your advice last time you was on the show. And I had another contributor on the show last time, my man JB out of Detroit. he shared some professional logic. Both of you guys said the same thing. The Padres need to worry about getting on base, driving in runs, not going yard. They need to start driving in runs. And funny that when after y'all said that, I noticed they started doing that. I noticed they quit focusing on just knocking it out the park. They just started trying to get base hits. But the thing that was so frustrating watching the Padres is that they was leaving like two and three people on base. Two or three people on base at a time, and I'm like, damn, what is going on? But I think to good pitching. Both teams just had good pitching.
Well, the reason why your homeboy JB said it and I said it, and then the Padres started listening, is because your people listen to your show. You know, You'd be surprised who listened to your show. And so they heard that, and they was like, you know what? We need to take these cats' advice. And they did, and it worked out, right? I'm not telling you guys can't beat. I'm not saying that Philly's going to beat y'all. I'm saying don't look ahead to who's in the World Series. Get by this series first, you know.
Well, I'm glad to know that I'm producing this show is the reason why we moved on and everything like that. So I feel sort of like the knowledge, the coaching knowledge that comes on this show, we actually drove our team forward. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, you gave that advice, man. I'm glad they listened to you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me
man.
Too.
But moving on, let's get off into the topic that you know, I know that's near and dear to your heart. What the hell is going on with Lamar Jackson, man? I mean, you know, you fumble the ball. I mean, this is the type of stuff when people start saying, did he deserve the pay? Did he deserve the check? Did he deserve the check? Now, me, frankly, I mean, I know he deserved a check. I understand that. But my point is, it's things like this. You know, turnovers, put the ball on the ground. What happened?
First of all, I don't think he deserves the most money in the NFL.
Well, you know, hold on. On past shows, you said he did. Did you change your mind, or am I remembering?
I did not change my mind. I wanna clarify my statements. Do I think he deserves guaranteed money? Yes. Does he have a better resume than Deshaun Watson? Yes. However, I don't think he deserves $300 million guaranteed. I never thought he deserved $300 million guaranteed. Does he deserve to get paid? Absolutely. Is he gambling on himself? Absolutely. And on Twitter, he actually came out and said, yeah, players fuck up. That's what he said in his response. Because he was called out by a former NFL player, and he responded with, yeah, players fuck up. But here's the thing. You can't have that attitude when you're trying to make that money. And now, some people are going to say, well, you know, at one point Joe Flacco was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, and he made mistakes too. Absolutely. But as you just said,
that little money Flacco made back with $10 million or whatever back in that little money, whatever he made back then, that ain't even comparison to the money that these guys making today, and that wasn't even that long ago.
And that's true, and that shows you how much the salaries have went up, right? Because at one point, Flacco was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at $120 million.
At 100, right, yeah.
And now you're talking about Lamar Jackson getting $300 million, right? So right, it just pales in comparison. But my thing was with Flacco was that every year he was the quarterback, the Ravens went to the playoffs. They either went to the first round or the second round every year or the third round, right? And then they lost an AFC championship game twice with Joe Flacco, and then he took them to the Super Bowl his fifth year. Lamar hasn't proven that. The issue that I have with Lamar is the losses that we've had. We lost to Buffalo, which that's the team that Lamar threw the pick in the end zone, and the guy returned it to win the game for Buffalo. Remember that? And to put the game out of reach. That was the year before last. He got injured last year and didn't get in the playoffs. But last season, on Monday Night Football, in front of a world, he got beat by Miami because he didn't read defenses. They were just doing cover zero. They were just blitzing on passing downs, and he couldn't figure it out, right? And so what I'm saying here is that's why you don't deserve the millions, the most money in the NFL, because it's not just athleticism alone. I caught an interview once with Michael Vick where he said, I never looked at film, and that's why you never won a ring. You know, no, Tom baby. Brady looks at film. All the other long-time quarterbacks, they look at film, right? Ray Lewis looked at film. Every looked at film. You're not going to just get to be the best off of talent alone. You got to study this.
Okay, let me say this though. Let me say this before I ask you my next question. Let me say this, and don't get me wrong. It ain't really about race as far as color. It's about habit as far as color. The way I look at it, I think a lot of the Caucasian ball players, when it comes down to the quarterback position, I think they do a lot of, and I'm not saying 100%, but I think a lot of them, because a lot of those men don't run out the pocket, a lot of them. Everybody ain't the Buffalo Bills quarterback, Josh Allen. Everybody ain't Josh Allen. The Tom Brady's and certain ones, they sit there in the pocket because they may not use their athleticism so much. They'll sit back and study. The more knowledge and info that they gather, they don't have to take off. Unfortunately, for the way a lot of the African-American quarterbacks are, a lot of us have feet. We can take off. So I think that leads to, like, the Kyler Murray, like he said, hey, and I'm going to just take off. If I don't see it, I'm just going to take off. I mean, the first down is the first down, whether I run it or throw it. A touchdown is a touchdown, whether I run to throw it. But I think the problem comes in, which going back to the Baltimore, and I'll let you comment on that along with this, the Baltimore Ravens, is that Hollywood Brown, if I'm correct, left and went to the Arizona Cardinals this year, which is crazy to me because he went to another team with a running quarterback. But the thing was, he left Baltimore because he was saying that the quarterback holds on to the damn ball and won't throw it. I can't get no numbers. I can't get no stats. If I ain't got no stats, I can't guarantee my contract. I'm just out there blocking or being a decoy while he take off. And so, you know, I'm going to say that as far as the reading defense part. But speaking of defense, what's going on with the Baltimore Ravens defense? I mean, this is a two-part question. What's going on with the Baltimore Ravens defense? Because this clearly ain't Joe Flacco with a Ray Lewis defense. This is or Terrell Suggs. This is Lamar Jackson with I can't even think of the big name on y'all defense right now off the top of my head. But go ahead and speak to both sides of that question.
And thank you for that. You're 100% correct. Lamar Jackson, because he only locks on to his primary receiver or Mark Andrews, he doesn't go through his progression. So if somebody is initially not open and Andrews ain't open, he will take off and run instead of, oh, wow, there's another receiver wide open. And that's why a lot of wide receivers leave the Ravens, Willie Sneed talked about it, the former Saint. He talked about it. He left the Ravens. He was like, man, I don't mind blocking, but throw me the ball, you know. And when this guy's open, he don't throw the ball because he's not good in his progression. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a difference between being very, very good and being untouchable. And a lot of people want to be excellent, but they don't want to put the work in. And then,
but you know why Russell Wilson is playing bad right now? Not to cut you, I want to throw this
yeah,
in before
you
finish. Russell Wilson, you hear what I'm saying? Russell Wilson is playing bad right now because of what we're saying. They're trying to make these athletically gifted quarterbacks study, and read defense. And it's like, he looked terrible trying to do it. I saw last night where Russell Wilson could have took off. Speaking of Monday Night Football, Russell Wilson could have took off a couple times and got the first down or scored. But what happened? Oh, no. We want the quarterback to stay in the pocket. The quarterback to stay in the pocket and go through his progression so everybody can basically do their job. We want the quarterback to throw the ball. Now, going back to – go ahead and finish your statement, but throw that in there.
Yeah, you're right. Now, with Russell Wilson, you're right. It looks like he don't know the offense that he's in charge of. It's almost like he doesn't know where everybody's going to be when you snap the ball. That's what it looks like to me, which is going back to Kyler Murray, right? Like, why are you – right. Kyler Murray, they put in that new contract that he got to know the playbook because that's what we're talking about here. If you know the playbook, you know who's open. If you know how to read defense, you know who's open. Doesn't mean you can't take off. Right, doesn't mean you can't take off and run, and doesn't mean that taking off and run ain't still sometimes a smart play, right? And no one argues that, but at the same token, you know, you got to get better as a talent. When you got teams game planning for you all week, when you got coaches whose job it is to just sit up and watch film of what you do all week, you have to understand. You cannot pay somebody millions of dollars and think they're not going to put in some work to try to stop you. You've got to be better, right? And that's where he's at. Now, going shifting to the defense real quick. You're right. The defense doesn't have any superstars. Marlon Humphreys, you could argue, and our other corner on the other side, you could argue Marcus Peters are our two best players. You can argue that we picked up the kid Williams from the safety from the Saints. You can argue our three best players are in the secondary. You can make that argument. But they're long in the tooth. They're both coming off of some sort of injury, two of the three. And, of course, to make a cornerback good, you need good pass rush. And the Ravens don't have the scariest defense like they used to have. That's true. And the defense coordinator is a rookie in the NFL. And, you know, and he's a young dude. So, yeah, I totally agree. Two of those games that we had, if the defense had just got a stop or two, we would have won. But,
man, now when it comes down to it, last night, the Monday night snoozer, as they're calling it, the Monday night snoozer, what are your thoughts on poor play from Herbert, poor play from Russell Wilson again? I mean, it's just like, I'm like, good God, Chargers, you had multiple opportunities to win that game, and you just gave them away, going to overtime and win on a field goal. I'm just sitting here looking at the game, man, like, come on. Then again, I'm looking at Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson, you actually could have put the game away if you just used your legs. But you're staying in the pocket. Listen to that garbage. Stay in the pocket. This guy's talented. And in Seattle, the reason why I feel like Russell Wilson was better in Seattle because Pete Carroll wasn't sweating. And Pete Carroll just said, hey, man, this loosey-goosey coaching style, which people don't like, he's like, hey, man, just win the game. However you do it, win the game. But go ahead.
I agree because – results is what matters. But at the same token, you know, Ray Lewis, I remember Ray Lewis, they had interviewed him one time, and they said, Ray, we noticed you lost a lot of weight. What happened? And Ray was like, listen, I'm getting older as an athlete. He was like, I'm not as fast as some of these young boys no more. And he was like, I had to lose some weight so that I could still be as fast and competitive. right? And so what I'm saying is that's sometimes what you have to do, right? Sometimes you have to make changes as you get older. And going back to with Russell Wilson, that's his issue. He hasn't made changes to his game as he got older. And what he's not thinking about is, you know, a lot of stuff people on Facebook are talking about how his teammates hate him. And it's like, yeah, because they're looking at you saying, we gave you all this money to come in and make a difference, and you suck, you know. And so, yeah, I could see a lot of players looking at this guy like, for real, you know, because people want to see you produce, you know. And in our world, it's what have you done for me lately? And we don't like it. We talk about it. We you know, but it's true. In America, we are what have you done for me lately? You know,
let me ask you this here with Tom Brady. Tom Brady news. He's all over the news this week, you know, especially since yesterday. Even though he got a divorce plan out in public, I hate that, you know, hate to see a family break up, especially when it seems like it's behind his decision to continue to play both sports. But they got caught him on the sideline, you know, chastising. This is offensive line, look like, chastising those guys, you know. So it's like they're looking at him like, hey, man, you took off this weekend for a wedding, you know. You wasn't even here Saturday. You wasn't here Wednesday. And then you got the nerve to come over here and talk to me when we're playing, you playing like stir fried crap, and you got the nerve to come over here and talk to me. You think Tom Brady had the right, even though he's a legend, to get off in those guys' grill?
Yes. As a teammate, we have to hold each other accountable. If you miss a block that allows me to get hit, if you you false start, right? If you're not doing your job, then yeah, I'm gonna hold you accountable. Cause guess what? I want you to hold me accountable, right? If we're holding everybody accountable, we know we're gonna do well, right? We know we're gonna do well, and we're holding everybody accountable, right? Cause we're all giving our best effort, right? What a lot of people don't do. It's just that, right? So I'm okay with it, but
people are saying that, you know, nobody's in the media is calling out Tom Brady because people don't want to upset Tom Brady. People don't want to – media people, you know, different people that's, you know, probably played the game, they don't want to upset Tommy. But maybe somebody needs to say, hey, Tom, you're playing like crap. You're playing like you – the way you're playing, you look like you're 45 years old. Maybe it's time for you to hang it up. Maybe we need to bench you for a while and bring somebody else in to kind of like push you a little bit because it ain't looking good. What do you say to that?
Well, I definitely think that you know, Father Tom is going to catch up with, you know, it caught up with every athlete, and he's going to be no exception. You know, the question is always, when was the shoe going to drop? But it was going to drop. I mean, we knew at some point Tom Brady was not going to be the Tom Brady of, you know, 19 of 2000. You know what I mean? At some point, we knew that guy was not going to show up anymore. And so I'm not shocked that he's had a downgrade in performance, but it's their fault as an organization because they tried to bring back a 45-year-old athlete when you know what's going to happen. You know the shoe is going to drop. You know at some point he's going to fall off. And why would you take a risk that it would be that season? I blame an organization, not Tom Brady. And I'll be honest, I think that Tom Brady, he will ride the season out. They won't win the Super Bowl, but they won't even get there because they got a lot of problems. They don't have good wide receivers. They let O.J. Howard go. They let Gronkowski go. Like, he doesn't have anybody that he could really trust to even throw the ball to. You know? So that's why you're going to have getting on the linemen and stuff like that, right? Because losing frustrates everybody, right? We're all great in the win. You know, you miss a block, it don't matter. We won the game, you good. When you lose, hey, man, you got to stop missing those blocks.
Well, I'm going to segue here real quick. Tonight is the NBA official start. Speaking of Golden State and the Lakers, first of all, who you think going to win that game in the season opener? And on top of that, how do you think the chemistry is going to be with Jamon Green and Jordan Poole in this game tonight? Go ahead.
I'm glad you asked that. First of all, I definitely think that Golden State's winning the game. I think the Lakers are done. You know, before the season start, the Lakers are done. And LeBron, I don't think LeBron is all in anymore. Anthony Davis is injuries is going to show. Russell Westbrook's skill set is going to be a factor. You'll see some stuff coming from the Lakers side. I know they drafted a shooter who was delivering pizzas last year, you know, that kind of deal, right? They signed a free agent that was delivering pizzas last year. And so, you know, I think
they got to make a living.
Right, all right. I think you're going to see those kind of guys make waves, and I think the Lakers will be competitive enough to possibly make the play-in tournament. They just won't make it. They're going to have a lot of blowouts.
Like a 60.
No, I don't even think they're going to. I think they'll finish 11th in the West. I think they'll just miss the play-in tournament, you know, because remember the top 10 are in the, at least in the play-in tournament, the last couple. And I don't even see them making the play-in tournament, but I do see them, you know, they'll have some good games. They'll have some, you know, LeBron will break the NBA scoring record. You know, they'll have that kind of stuff. But they're not going to make the playoffs. They're done.
This is crazy. This is crazy that you're saying. And stand by 1 second. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stoke of the Bear Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoke of the Bear Radio Show. Time on deck is 8:43 a.m. Pacific Coast time. Weather is 63 degrees and sunny. Topic for today, we're talking about with my man, professional armchair quarterback, D.C. out of Maryland, NFL recap and Monday Night Football results, week 6. But right now we're off into some with the NBA regular season starting tonight, big game, Golden State Warriors and the Lakers. We're just discussing that. If you'd like to tune in, call into the show and debate us, the number is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687 to call into the show. But, DC, back to you. What do you think the situation – across the wire, across my monitor, they're saying that Russell Wilson really just wants to just be off of this team. Why can't he just go into the front office and say, hey, just go ahead and send me home. Just send me home, put me out in free agency. Send me home, see if somebody will pick me up. If not, I'll just stay home, get my guaranteed money, get my guaranteed check. And, y'all can be free of me, I can be free of y'all. Because now they're the media is trying to make ways between him and Patrick Beverly. Pat Bev saying, oh, I wasn't tripping about him not being in the huddle. He was talking to one of the coaches, whatever. But the players on the Lakers are like, hey, man, why are you letting Russ dish you like that? See, they're stirring this pot to have another Jordan Poole, Draymond Green situation, you know, so TMZ can put that out there within the Lakers camp. So what do you think about Russell Wilson being pissed that he's going to be this bad? I mean, you know, you got your team, LeBron, and AD got their team. We'll see who's the best team to keep on the court at all time. Go ahead and talk to me about that.
Russell Westbrook is trash. He is done as a marquee player. He was limited as a marquee player from the beginning. But now he is no way he can put the numbers up he used to put up. If you're talking about fantasy basketball, he's an enigma, because one night he can get you 50 fantasy points, the next night he can give you 8, right? And so, but here's the thing.
This man broke Oscar Robertson's record, man. You're saying this man is the man that broke Oscar Robertson's record. You don't just wake up one morning and become trash.
And what year was that, though? 2011?
It was like about four years ago.
That was 2011, right?
No. I'm talking about here. I thought within the last, time does fly. I could be wrong. But let's say it's 2011. The man was, he wasn't bad with Washington.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Washington was
okay.
Just a bad team.
So let's clear it up. First of all, you're right. He broke the triple double record in 2021.
Okay.
If I'm reading this right. 2021. He did. All right. But the first time he broke the record, no, he couldn't have broken in 2021. It had to be earlier, when he averaged the triple double for a season, right? Because he
right.
did break.
So I'm thinking it was like 2018, somewhere in there,
right.
17, 18. But we'll fact check it. We'll fact check it after the show and get it right for the people, unless the people are listening and want to call in and correct us. But go ahead, though, with your thought, though.
But he is, because again, he hasn't evolved his game on how people play you. See, there's so much film out here. There's so many scouts that people know, well, you don't hit the shot from the corner, or your mid-range jump shot isn't good, right? The analytics and sports is so huge, right? People are putting millions based on analytics. So,
and I hate that. I hate analytics.
So because of that, because everything is analytical now, you've got to continue to get better. Remember when Michael Jordan, they said his problem was he couldn't shoot the three-point shot, and he went out there against Clyde Drexler and he hit 5 threes and a half, and then he turned to
right.
the camera and did that infamous, hands up, like, because he read the reports and he worked on his game. That's my point. You've got to, in order to get better, you've got to humble yourself to be better, right? Notice we're talking about Michael Vick. We talked about with Lamar Jackson. Here we are with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, because he can't shoot. Basically, what you're trying to tell me is that he's the type of guy. He's an athlete, just like Lamar Jackson. I'm an athlete. Give me the ball. I'm like Allen Iverson. I'm going to the rack. I'm just gonna take it to the hole. That's my style of play. Just like with Ben Simmons, the same thing. Just give me the ball, and I'm gonna take it to the hole. But for whatever reason now, like you said, this stupid analytics stuff. Well, you gotta hit the high. We're trying to get all our players, baby, to hit the high percentage jumper. We need you to hit that jumper. And it's like, well, that ain't that guy's style, and you knew that when you got him. So he's the guy, Russell Westbrook, the guy. You wind him up when you're down. You wind him up and let him take off. Am I correct, or what am I seeing wrong?
You are correct. However, it's not that simple, because the league has recognized his skill set. If I know he's going to take it to the hole now, and I stand in the middle of the paint to take the charge, and you crash right into me, it's a turnover. Right?
Okay.
So if I force you, if I stand in the middle of the paint and force you to stop and pop, well, we already know Russell Westbrook ain't going to stop and pop. That's the involvement of your game as a player. Stop and pop, and you still get the 2 points, right? But he can't do that because his mid-range game is trash, right? Also, he learned that he can't play with LeBron. They just don't have the right style. LeBron needs a point guard. Russell Westbrook needs to have the ball in his hands and make things happen and get in the rhythm of the game. LeBron needs the ball in his hands to make things happen and get in the rhythm of the game. It's too much. It's too many. It's one ball, but too many players, right? And so you can't have players with that kind of style, right? You need a For example, Charlie Ward. You need a Charlie Ward kind of point guard. You need the – who was the point guard for Philly when they had Allen Iverson and they, the little short dude, and they went to all the finals and all the NBA playoffs, right? He didn't have that many assists, but he brought the ball up. He got the offense in order. He played good D. And when it was his opportunity to take a shot, he took it, right? But he was okay with Allen Iverson sometimes bringing the ball up and going right into the offensive flow. And then you need that kind of point guard when you have that kind of player. In this case, Russell Wilson is that Russell Westbrook is that kind of point guard. So then that stalls the offense when you got all these kind of ball hawks. So we get back to the same thing, you know. So in other words, you got to be able to expand your role and develop your talent as you grow in the sport. And he doesn't want to do that. Melo, Carmelo Anthony, same thing. At one point, Melo didn't want to come off the bench. He was like, no, I'm a starter. Come on, man. You know, you 6'7", you slow, you can't play the small forward. People blowing right past you on defense, right? Then we put you at the four,
yeah.
And then you 6'7". So I put you at the four, and the other team got a player 6'10", because he playing the power forward position, and he wearing your ass out. Why? Because he 3-4 inches taller than you, and he got just as much bulk as you, so you're not pushing him. And today's NBA, they don't even play tough defense like they did back then. They got rid of hand checking and some of those other things, but you still in a position where that guy's going to just shoot over top of you, right? Carmelo never had no real hops, so you're not blocking nobody's shot. So now what? So now you're a liability on defense, right? So
you
don't want to come off the bench. And so when you come off the bench, you could be the featured scorer, right? And you're playing against the second-tier players of the other team. So if you don't want to do that, now you're saying you're not a team player, right? You
right.
Get your numbers,
right.
Man.
Right.
If you play in the second and the fourth quarter and you get 5 points in the five shots in the second quarter and five shots in the fourth quarter, if you make all five, that's 20 points. Right? You 20 points, and you're coming off the bench.
I agree. Well, let me segue over into some other stuff here real quick before I get back to the Baltimore Ravens and let you get out of here. But we had a lot of boxing news this weekend. For those of you that just tuned in, we had Clarissa Shields beating Savannah Marshall in that big heated battle, that grudge match. Clarissa Shields has all the belts now. Then we had Alicia Baumgartner beating up Michaela Mayer, if I'm remembering, if I'm correct. She took all the belts as well. That was a grudge match. She beat Michaela Mayer. And so congratulations to Clarissa Shields and Alicia Baumgartner, both from the Michigan area. Then we had Deontay Wilder knocking out Big Robert Helenius in one round, one mega punch. Deontay Wilder has a hand Thor's hammer. He knocked him out in one punch. And this guy was actually a Nordic guy. He's a Nord. And he got hit with that hard hammered right fist by Deontay Wilder in the first round and got knocked out. Then lastly, we had the grudge match, Caleb Plant against Darrell the Dog. Andre the Dog Darrell. Now, mm-hmm. DC, I want to come to you on this one. Now, as far as race and boxing, Andre Darrell, he called, I don't know if you've seen the press conference on Fox, but live press conference, Darrell repeatedly called Caleb Plant, which is a white man. Darrell's a black man. Plant is a white man. Now, Plant is married to Jordan Plant, the pretty young lady that's on Fox PBC that does the hosting and everything. Looks like she's of mixed race. But Caleb Plant's a white man. Married to a biracial woman, and they do have a child. Now, moving over, Darrell's a black man. He called Plant the B word multiple times in this interview. So, anyway, in the ninth round, Caleb Plant winds up knocking Darrell out like he said he was going to do and end his career. So, as he laid there in the ring, knocked out semi-unconscious with a concussion, Caleb Plant gestured. He was digging dirt out of the ground, throwing it on top of Darrell. Like he was burying him right there in the ring. He was burying him. The referee jumps in and pulls him back. Say, hey man, that ain't classy. I forgot the referee's name, but I'm like, that ain't classy, type of thing. And then so it's like people's like, oh man, you know, that's kind of that. It was mixed reaction. Some people's like, being the fact that Darrell kept calling the guy the B word, and he did say, you know, this supposedly this white boy ain't gonna beat me, and people are looking at it like, you know, race played an issue into it. But I feel like this. I don't care if Darrell didn't offend Caleb Plant with the B word or whatever the case may be. I don't care if he didn't say it. I feel like if you knock a man out in the ring and you want to bury his behind, you want to gesture that you're burying him and that you ended his career, you know, hey, you backed up what you wanted to do. You could kind of like say it's kind of like unsportsmanlike, but, I mean, boxing's a brutal sport. Do you think race played any issue in Caleb Plant gesturing? He's burying this black man that's laying in the ground. I don't think so. But what are your thoughts on it, if you saw that on the Twitter?
I did, and I agree. I don't think race had anything to do with this. And I think it's man to man. You know, if you're going to call me out as a man, then I'm going to come back to you as a man. And that left did put Darrell out. I mean, it put him out quickly. And, you know, so I don't see it as race at all. And I'll tell you this, you know, I think that he deserved it. You know, when you talk smack, you got to back it up. You know, Adrian Broner. I mean, Adrian Broner is a perfect example of a young, cocky, brash boxer who let his mouth get him in trouble. And Adrian Broner, I mean, talk about being, I mean, dude was in the ring at post-game interviews getting his hair brushed, right?
Right.
About the fight, and he got somebody brushing his hair. You know, like he was the super cockiest dude until he got laid out. And then now all of a sudden, you know, you didn't even see him fight for a while. It was a long time before he took a fight, right? You know, humility, right? Humility, it will do it to you. And some people deserve it. Darrell is a good fighter, but he did get caught with a good left.
It's just the fact that people want to make a big deal. Oh, Caleb Plant, a white man, is burying this brother in the middle of the ring. It ain't got nothing to do with it. What pissed him off, I'm quite sure, was the fact that his wife works for that network, for the Premier Boxing Champions. She works for Fox and the PBC network. And you know this, man. So why would you get up calling this man a B? That's almost like you calling me a B in front of my wife. You understand what I'm saying? He should have knocked him out. He should have knocked him out, and he should have did just what he did, because I would have done it. I, as a black man, would have done it. And if the shoe was on the other foot, it could have been done as well, because it was just mad disrespect. I mean, Darrell, you know, I ain't trying to be no hater. He could kick my butt any day. I ain't fighting like that. You know, I had aspirations at one time, but, I mean, I can't go in front of Darrell and say nothing to him face-to-face like that and don't expect to get knocked out like he got knocked out. But I'm just talking on my show. This is my platform, and I'm saying that I don't think that Caleb Plant did anything wrong. I think he did what he was supposed to do, and I think he reacted the way any of us would have reacted. I'm finna bury his behind. I told him I was going to end his career. He talked all that crap, embarrassed me in front of my wife and my child. Guess what? I'm burying your butt. Then I don't know why the referee jumped in. I mean, the referee, Harvey Dock, I think. He's a good referee and everything like that. But it's like, dude, I mean, back up. This is this guy's moment to shine. But, you know, I'll let you close out on that, and then ask you one more question about Baltimore and get you out of here. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I thought this was a good weekend for fights. And boxing needs – boxing – the problem with boxing is they are not – they are working as individuals in each belt. You know, it's the four-belt era, and each – conference is work as in the each boxer federation is working against each other instead of working as a whole as a sport. What do I mean? For this to be such an incredible boxing weekend, you had so many fights going on simultaneously on the same day, right?
Yeah, and I forgot to mention Haney won too.
That's
Haney
right.
Haney over Kambosos. I forgot about that one. Haney, congratulations to Devin Haney for beating Kambosos. But go ahead.
But you're right. And so the point is that's why boxing is not growing, because they're so busy fighting against each other. They're not working as a team. You should have had, if you're going to have Wilder on pay-per-view, you should have had Wilder hypothetically on a Friday night, Haney, let's say, on Saturday, right? The women, let's say, on the week after, and then Darrell and his fight.
And Plant should have been
week,
on
HBO. Right?
Darrell and Plant should have been on ESPN.
Right, but
Haney
was on
ESPN.
Right, but Haney was on ESPN. But that's what I'm saying.
They should have been on the undercard of that fight.
Right, but even if they wasn't, even if you're going to let them have their own thing, I'm saying don't have it all on one night, right? Because you're forcing a true fight fan, right? You're forcing a true fight fan to figure out, well, who am I going to watch, right?
Exactly.
Am I going to watch Wilder? And now I don't want to watch Wilder because I don't want to pay. So that means I'm going to go to ESPN and watch Haney, right? That's what I'm saying. You got to remember who your audience is. And if you want true boxing enthusiasts, then you're going to have to give us, you know, a night. You can't have boxing, four fights, four parts of the country, all on one night, all classic.
With
then, right. Because then you're not going to get what you're looking for, right? You're not going to get the results. The sports fan, he's too busy. He's going to pick one and just run with it.
Yeah, because I'm like, what I really hate about boxing, speaking of which, before I change the subject here, is that when they took the fights off HBO, they're really seen anymore on HBO. I don't know about Showtime. I don't know if they're even as strong as they used to be with it, because everything's going to DAZN or some stupid app.
This is
ridiculous.
Showtime's still good, but yes, taking it off HBO hurt boxing.
Yeah. But switching on to the next subject, so I don't hold you too long. They're saying on the monitor that can Lamar Jackson bounce back this weekend against the Cleveland Browns? Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you reiterate. Cleveland is a good ball club. How they lost to the Chargers last week, I don't know, because it seemed like it was a back and forth game for a minute. But you know, I'm surprised at their quarterback, who thinks it's Bissett. I'm surprised that he's been able to steer that ship in Cleveland. I mean, they're actually a pretty good football team, good defense, solid on defense, good offense, good running game with Hunt and Chubb. I'm like, you know, that's a good ball club. I mean, because they can come at you multiple ways. But now, speaking of Baltimore, you know that this is going to be a division game. Is Lamar going to be able to get past his fourth quarter follies? Go ahead.
So I'm glad you asked that, because you're right. Cleveland has lost three straight, and good teams don't typically lose four straight games. The Ravens are at home, where they actually have struggled to win games. So it does have the formula for a win for Cleveland. However, you write about Jacoby. While Jacoby plays hard, Cleveland just doesn't get it done. They didn't look good against the Patriots. And so I think that this will be a Ravens win. I think the players in the locker room for Baltimore are getting frustrated with losing games. Baltimore really should be 6-0, but they gave away all of their losses. So I think what you're going to see is the players going to the coaches saying, when it gets crunch time, don't be calling no BS plays. We need to do this. We need to do that. You know, if we were doing working in the first and third quarter, we need to keep doing that, right? I think that's what you're going to start seeing. Some of the players standing up to because the defense coordinator is a rookie. And so I think you'll see some of these players stand up to this guy and say, nah, we need to make some changes, because we giving the game away is on us. Because no matter how bad Lamar Jackson played, if the defense had made a stop or two, it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
So to support Lamar Jackson, quarterbacks throw picks all the time. So they make mistakes all the time. So if your defense got a stop or three and out or just held somebody to a field goal, then it wouldn't have been as bad.
Okay. My New Orleans Saints, we dropped another one this weekend to the Cincinnati Bengals, who's in your division. I know you was praying that the Saints pulled that one off because that'll, you know, you want everybody in your division to lose, of course. But they pulled it out at the last minute. I mean, I don't know what our Saints gonna do. I don't know what our Saints gonna do, man. It just, we 2-4. We, you know, I think we just need to go and start Taysom Hill. That needs to be the quarterback moving forward. Because speaking of running quarterbacks, he's an athlete just like Lamar Jackson. He can take off. He can throw the ball. You know, you can use him in a number of ways. Where Andy Dalton is gonna be your in the pocket quarterback. And maybe we just need to go to a quarterback system where Andy Dalton, start him off in the pocket, see if he plays well, keep him in. Once he starts struggling or the game gets tight, get him out of there and put in Taysom Hill for a good while. You know, get that team a spark. You know, Jameis Winston, I believe he's going to be a bust for the rest of the year. And unfortunately, Jameis Winston, you know, we always talk about this, can't read defense. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to do anything better than those two for us anyway. So, what do you think about the Cincinnati Bengals jumping on top of my New Orleans Saints?
First, I want to talk about the Saints. With your quarterback, you've been flirting with Taysom Hill as a gadget type of player for years, and I think you need to go away from that. I think you need to do one or two things. You either need to let him be the starter and see what he can do full-time, or – put him at some other position, tight end, because y'all line him up in all kinds of positions, and just commit to Andy Dalton. Why? Because
you know something. You know what this reminds me of. Before you say that, hold that thought. Remember when Pittsburgh was? I think they quarterback for a while was Neil O'Donnell, if I'm correct. Then they said Bill Cowher said, you know what? We're gonna just go with Slash. I forgot Slash's real name, but we'll just go with. I think it's the same type of situation.
Cordell Stewart.
Yeah, Cordell Stewart. Yep.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's what I'm saying. This is the season to make this determination. If Taysom Hill is gonna be an NFL quarterback legitimately and not a trick gadget guy, because let's be honest, defenses know when Taysom Hill come on the field, he's gonna run the ball.
Yep.
Right. Every once in a while he gets lucky and he pops one. Every once in a while he'll throw one and you know. But everybody knows when he comes in, oh, it's going to be a gadget play and he's going to run it. Right?
And this is the right year to do it, being 2-4 already. I think this is the right year to just go ahead on and just look at it like, hey, it's preseason. Just start working guys out at different spots so next year we can cut bait.
That's right. Jameis Winston, I mean, you got two veteran quarterbacks that you know were stop gaps anyway towards another player, right? You wasn't, you know, you're not, Jameis is not your franchise guy. And he, you know what proved it, that Jameis Winston is not going to do anything? He left Tampa Bay and then Tom Brady came in and they won a championship. Right?
Right.
Like,
he went 30-30.
So you prove, you know, that guy's not that guy, right? He made his money. He's got talent. All of that's true, but he's not the guy. You had a 40-year-old guy come in and take his spot and lead him to the title, right? So you know he's not going to be that dude. Same thing with Baker Mayfield down in Carolina. You know he's not going to be. Now he's mysteriously got a sore shoulder or whatever. Some kind of tear, and he's not going to play now. You know, sit down. Yeah, you know why? Because he's not that dude. It's not the system. He's just not that guy, right?
And you it's just a shame that these guys get paid this money, and then they do this. Every time they get paid all this money, and then they'll turn around, I'm going to go ahead and sit down. I'm glad Lamar Jackson hasn't done that, though. It ain't like, you know, when he's gotten hurt, he's like, I'm ready to get back on the field. A lot of these guys, like you said, like Baker Mayfield, when the press is on them, they get these little nagging injuries. Oh, I'm going to have a season-ending surgery. I'm going to be out 4 to 6 weeks for a surgery on my ankle or something dumb, and you're getting paid all this money.
Yep.
Cincinnati. What's your thoughts on Joe Burrow beating the Saints?
Cincinnati is a team that is going to have to learn that it's hard to win in the NFL. Everyone talked about that they were going to struggle this season after making the Super Bowl because they just had too many things work out for them, right? The Ravens had a bunch of injuries. They won a lot of last-second games. They came out of nowhere. People didn't think they were serious, you know. They had all these things that worked right. Everything worked right for them last year. But the thing is it's been known that for teams where everything worked out right, they don't win in the end. Because why? You know, it's really hard to win on the highest levels. Even in the NBA, you know, baseball, right? The Dodgers won 111 games and got their butts whooped by the Padres, right? Because you know why? It is really hard to beat someone when that's the only person that they have to concentrate on and they got all week to prepare, right? I got all week to just look at film on you. I know you hit the fastball down the middle. Well, I'm not going to throw you a fastball down the middle. I know you like the fastball low and away. I'm going to throw you the fastball high and away. I know that you like to run to the left on first down. Well, I'm going to overload my defense to the right on first down. So when you run that way, we got you, right? I know when you bring in the one speedy wide receiver in the game that you're going to throw to him because everybody in the building knew when Hollywood Brown got on the field that the Ravens was going to pass the ball. So if everybody in the gym knew, the other team knew too. Right? You might as well just call out, this is going to be a passing play. Right? And so when Lamar saw that, he'd take off running. Right? Well, guess what? You know, nobody wants to be a decoy, so you're right about Hollywood Brown. And you get back to the same point. You've got to get better in order to grow. Right? And it's not just in pro sports. It's in everything, even in business.
What do you think happened with Aaron Rodgers this weekend, man? You know, he lost to the Jets. I mean, how the heck does that happen? I mean, and the Jets are now, 4-2? I mean,
because of his talent,
he's
got the talent, but his receivers are not good. You know, he's got wide receivers past their prime, like Sammy Watkins, right? He's got role players. Alan Lazard is a good number three wide receiver. He's not a number one. He's not a number one. And he's proven it.
But they got
Tanya. Yeah, he's a good tight end, but he's not Mark Andrews. Right?
Okay. No.
He's a good tight end. He's a good tight end. Right? But you can't you double cover him, you know, you take him out of the game. Right? And so that's what we're talking about. Green Bay don't have a running back that scares you. Right, they don't have any players that scare you, other than Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, he can't do everything. He can't run and catch and block, right, and throw. So, you know, you get to a point where you gotta have talent around a guy, but you also have to have a system. You know, the coach of Green Bay just don't look good, LaFleur. You know, he doesn't have a system. You know, he relies on Aaron Rodgers to get stuff done. They're not scaring anybody on offense or defense. You know, they're not there. They don't have any other players to look at them. You got a rookie, Sauce Gardner, walking around with a cheese head. You know, he made a mockery. Right? A rookie in his first season. We ain't even halfway through the NFL season. You got a rookie clowning him. Right?
Well, Lazard checked him for that, though.
Yeah, he did. But the thing is, Lazard ain't a number one wide receiver, right? He's a complimentary guy, right? He can't be the number one guy because he drops too many passes. You know, even the wide receiver they drafted, because everybody's argument during the draft was, why didn't the Packers draft the wide receiver early? Remember that kid, Christian Watson, they didn't pick him up until, you know, past a couple of wide receivers went before he went, right? So it was like, if you're going to wait to get a wide receiver, why get that guy? Why not get a ball or wide receiver? You know that's what you need. You just got rid of Devontae Adams, right? Get him a talented wide receiver, right? They did. You know, another example of an organization not doing what makes sense, and you got people getting paid millions that's not making smart decisions, and you got people that are below and other organizations fighting to get there to make a difference, and they don't even get the opportunity.
Looking at this is a two-part question. I'm going to let you get off this line. This is my last question for you so you can get on with your day, but I thank you for sticking around. But the Atlanta Falcons with Marcus Mariota, two-part question. First of all, how did they pull it off beating Jimmy Garoppolo and Deebo Samuels? And then, you know, speaking of Marcus Mariota, Heisman Trophy winner came in. And it is, for some reason, Heisman Trophy winners, man, I don't know what it is. You got the Mariotas, the Mayfields, and a whole bunch of other ones, man. RG3. What is it that they come to this league, man, and they don't pan out, or they wind up becoming somebody's backup, then they'll finally get another job? I mean, what the hell is it with these Heisman guys? Because Mariota, he's so smart. Even when he was in Tennessee, he's so smart that he can play. He can be a starter in this league, but for whatever reason, they don't get that far. Go ahead.
Humility. That's been the theme of our conversation all morning, humility. You've got to recognize where you're weak at and grow, right? You've got to recognize it. Where are you weak in your game? You could do everything right, but where are you weak in your game? I remember Othello Harrington used to be a power forward for the Knicks, was a star in Georgetown in college. He only had this one dribble spin move. And the NBA people would wait for him to do that dribble spin and smack the ball. They would block his shot every single time. Because he was a 6'8 power forward. He wasn't a good athlete. He wasn't super strong. He was kind of chubby. And he had one move. Guess what? In college, you could dominate with that. It won't work in the pros. You playing against a 7-foot center who's stronger than you and looking at that same move you do. He waiting on you to pump fake. He waiting on you to turn with your shot, and he's right there to block it. That's why he couldn't get off in the pros. He never took the time to expand his game. He just said, I'm going to keep doing what got me here because that's what works. No, it got you to that level, but you're not going to get past that unless you change your game.
Hey, man, I want to thank you for being on the show and everything today. Who the Knicks have got tonight? You think y'all gonna be able to make the 8 seed, or at least get in the play-in tournament this year?
So I'm glad you asked. How y'all look? So I'm glad you asked. This is a great way to cap off the show. The New York Knicks play tomorrow on ESPN against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh,
so Ja Morant, we get to see Ja Morant for the first time this season, and he will be playing the New York Knicks. So you will be able to watch it, and I will definitely come on here Thursday so we can talk about the game regardless of whatever happens. I'll tell you this, though. I do think the Knicks will make the play-in tournament. I think they will actually make the playoffs this year. I think Boston is going to drop in the standings. With this Ume Udoka scandal, and I don't think some other teams are going to be as good as people think. So I do think the Knicks will make the playoffs. I also see them getting rid of Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is not going to be able to have the role he had the year that we went as the 4 seed.
Just bring him off the bench like they're doing Russell Westbrook then.
Well, that's what they were doing back then. Derrick Rose was the fourth quarter point guard out when they had Alec Burks, because what happened is, who you guard? Do you leave Burks open, or do you leave former MVP Derrick Rose open? So people were D'ing up on Rose. He was kicking to Alec Burks. He was shooting wide open threes and making a difference. Then when they would double, they would tighten up on Alec Burks, he passed the ball to Rose, and Derrick Rose actually has a jump shot. And so they kick him the ball, and Rose will be there to hit a wide-open shot, right? I think what's going to happen, though, is Rose's knees is going to catch up with him. And because of that, they're going to be forced to play a couple of the younger guys, and they're going to just outdo him. So I think Derrick Rose will be a midseason trade, but I do see the Knicks making the playoffs. I would trade their starting power forward, Randall. I'd trade him for a bag of potato chips if I could. Salt and vinegar.
Come on, man.
Really.
You're getting hard on Randall. He finally developed his game.
Yeah, but his attitude. It's his attitude. It's not his talent. It's his attitude. So I'd trade that guy for a bag of potato chips if I could. But we can't unload him because of his salary. Nobody wants him. Think he's going to play better this year because he knows nobody wants him. You know, and I think
trade him to a team in Australia.
Right, but that's the thing. You know, when you're in a position where you're hearing people was trying to trade for you, the team you was with was trying to get rid of you, but nobody wanted you. It's like, wow, you're telling me I'm not even good enough to be traded? You know. So I think that changes your motivation, right? It's like, okay, if you're saying you don't want me and I'm not even good enough to be traded, then I need to make some changes if I want to survive in this league. Right, because the Knicks is definitely a team that can afford to put you on the bench, not pay you, well, pay you because you got a guaranteed deal. But they're definitely a team that can put you on the bench and send you home, you know, and not play you, right? Because they already get their money in ticket sales anyway.
I hear you. Well, look, man, thanks for being on the show this morning. Thank you for sticking around for another 20 minutes and everything like that. We just had a lot of sports this weekend to cover, especially now with multiple sports playing, like in the summertime. But thanks for being on the show, DC, and we'll get you back on here tomorrow and everything like that. And we're going to go off into some music mix, but thanks for being on the show, man. Hey, before you go, man, tell people how they can find you for your opportunity for your with World Financial Group if they're looking for an opportunity to make some money and learn something new. Go ahead and plug that in real quick before you go.
Yeah. If any listeners out there want to learn more about the company, the guy to reach out to is you. Reach out to you, and then we will, you'll put them in touch with me, and we'll go from there. I can put some money in your pocket while you're living your goals of trying to make the NFL. And even if you just want to have another source of income, I can help you with that too. And all you need to do is be in the United States, Puerto Rico, or Canada, and I can help you out. So with that being said, I'm going to get off of here, man. If I don't see you tomorrow, we'll definitely see you Thursday. And we will, that way we can talk about what happened with New York and Memphis. And we'll go from there.
All right, my man. Thank you for being on the show. And you have a great day and stay safe out there.
You too, man. You too.
Those of you just tuning in to the show, welcome to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I'm your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Our show today was NFL Recap and Monday Night Football Results Week 6. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of an audience listening globally. The hosts will discuss action from this past weekend in sports. The hosts will discuss NFL action from Week 6 and Monday Night Football. The hosts will discuss this weekend's results in boxing and Major League Baseball, National League Divisional Series, and American League Divisional Series. And we did cover a lot of that stuff with our friend of the show, DC out in Maryland. If you want to call into the show and debate the host or talk about whatever sport you want to talk about, the show call-in line is 515-602-9687. Once again, 515-602-9687 to call into the show. Time on deck is 9:24 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 67 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny in sunny San Diego, California. We're all getting ready to gear up tonight for the first playoff game for the League Championship Series, National League Championship Series between the San Diego Padres. Good luck tonight, San Diego Padres. I am here in San Diego, and that is a hometown team, and I do support them. They're going to be going up tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies. So Padres and Phillies tonight, I believe, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But with that being said, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from WBEST, Chula Vista, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. The Stokers and Beer Radio Show can be heard every most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time most Mondays through Thursdays. Every now and then, we could, like yesterday, we couldn't broadcast because I'm a one-man operation. And when you're a one-man operation and the one man has to basically, one man running the show gets sick or has to go to the doctor or whatever the case may be, you have to the show suffers. So that's why I encourage everyone, if you have a business, make sure that you have an actual working staff, because when you're a sole proprietor versus a corporation, when you're a sole proprietor versus a corporation with members, presidents, staff, the show goes on whenever you get sick or whenever you have an appointment, the show goes on because you have other people that can step in and fill in for other people. But when you're a one-man operation like myself, which is a sole proprietor, which eventually I won't be a sole proprietor. I'll change this into a corporation and I'll have a staff. So when I have an appointment, my business does not suffer. So I had an appointment yesterday, so I apologize for not being on the show yesterday. I had an early appointment, so I couldn't do the show. Because when I have an appointment, my show has an appointment. When I get sick, my show gets sick. When I need a personal day, my show needs a personal day. So with that being said, always make sure that you have at least a three-man staff that works with you to continue on to run the radio show or whatever you can, or whatever you're doing, selling hot dogs, selling pies, cakes, flowers. Make sure you have other people that can open the doors and you guys still turn a profit. All right, with that being said, we're going to go off into our music mix for the morning and let the late night dog wet his throat a little bit, and then we'll get back off into some news coming from across the monitor. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We got a lot of boxing to talk about. We got a lot of things coming up with the Stogan to Be Radio Show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about in this next 30 minutes, and we're going to go off into some music mix right now. Our music mix is donated by the CEO of Team Mass and Sound Design, Keith Clizzard, platinum producer Keith Clizzard. We're going to be going off into some of his beats, and then we're going to transition off into some music from another Keith that donated some music to the show, and that is DJ Keith Chronic, or Keith Payne on Facebook. He is an entrepreneur. He makes a lot of beats and mixtapes at the same time. He has his own clothing line. It's called In the Trunk Clothing. That's NDA Trunk, In the Trunk Clothing. You can find that on Facebook, and you can also find In the Trunk Clothing on Twitter. So with that being said, we're going to go off into some music that they donated to the show. If you are a hip-hop or R&B artist and would like to donate music to the show or come on to the show and get an interview, you can hit me up on Twitter. That's direct message on Twitter at Ferran Sports. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S, Sports. So that's at Ferran Sports on Twitter, capital F, capital S, both words together, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. Just direct message me and let me know you like more information on getting the interview on the show and putting some music in rotation on the show. And that's for all hip-hop and R&B artists and producers. If you are an athlete and you'd like to come on the show and tell your story, whether you play baseball, basketball, football mainly, if you play any other sport, you can come on the show and tell your story too. Just DM me as well at Ferran Sports on Twitter to come on to the show and tell your story. With that being said, we're going to go off into our music mix now. This is the Stogan to Be Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Guest call in line is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. Time on deck is 9:29 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The temperature is 67 degrees and sunny in sunny San Diego, California. We'll be back. welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, today's show was NFL recapping Monday Night Football results, Week 6. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sports they love in front of an audience listening globally. We talked a lot about the NFL today, NBA, Major League Baseball, and some boxing today. And boxing news, this past weekend we had Alicia Baumgartner in a grudge match against Michaela Mayer for the women's lightweight title, if I'm correct. And Alicia Baumgartner defeated Michaela Mayer in a good grudge match. A lot of people felt like Michaela Mayer actually won the fight. I think she did mention on social media that she clearly felt like she won 7 of those rounds. And she felt like she saw defeat in Alicia Baumgartner's eye. But however that worked out, Alicia Baumgartner took all the belts, and I think some people were saying that she landed the cleaner, harder shots. Alicia Baumgartner landed the cleaner, harder shots in the fight. So, you know, you might look like, and I didn't get to see the fight. Unfortunately, I can't pay for all these fights. If it's not on, I have HBO, so if it's on Showtime, I won't see it. If it's on an app, I'm not buying it. If it's on pay-per-view, in most cases, I won't pay for it. Only person I really will pay for is like, I don't even want to go into all that there, because all these women, whoever bought it, it was worth it. And I wish I had the money to buy it. I'll put it like that. I wish I had the money to buy it so I don't have to decide who pay-per-view stuff I buy. I just wish I had the money to pay for it, because I did almost want to ask my brother for a link, but there was so much college football going on and stuff like that as well. It's just too many sports this weekend. But I love boxing because that's what I came from. I'm a boxing fan, a boxing enthusiast. So, but I was following along on Twitter, looking at what Rosie Perez was saying and some of the other ones, like I think Terrence Crawford, he was doing some tweeting about it. So that's kind of like how I watch all the pay-per-view events. Now I just follow somebody's thread on Twitter, because it's usually somebody out there, calling the fight as they see it. But I did think, as far as the Alicia Baumgartner and Michaela Mayer fight, some people said it was a draw, easily a draw. Some people said Baumgartner, some people said Mayer, but you know how they clear things up in boxing. They're going to have to scrap again. I'm quite sure that both of them had a rematch clause. So I believe we'll be seeing that again. Same thing with Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Guoke Shields, greatest woman of all time. Greatest woman of all time in boxing. Guoke Shields defeated Savannah Marshall. I think it was pretty unanimous with everybody on Twitter. They say it was a good fight, back and forth fight, but it was clear that Clarissa Shields came to take Savannah Marshall's head off. Although Savannah Marshall, she stood in there. I don't think she got knocked down or anything. She stood in there. Clarissa Shields said in her interview that she couldn't see out of her right eye, because Savannah Marshall does have a hard punch. She said she couldn't see out of her right eye from the sixth round on. So, and then I did see some swelling on Clarissa Shields' face. And she did admit that Savannah Marshall has a hard punch, but at the same time, Guoke Shields was just too much for throwing punches, probably from all angles. From the highlights that I saw, she came in almost like Mike Tyson, up and down, in and out, just staying on top of Savannah Marshall, staying on top of her and just out-fighting her. I don't think she outboxed her from what I was seeing. I didn't see the fight, though. I got to go back and see the fight. But I think she just basically out-fought Savannah Marshall. Savannah Marshall game plan looked like she was coming in there to outbox her and then use some power in there in spots. But I don't think that Clarissa Guoke Shields was going for it. I think she just stayed on top of her, kept applying pressure, making a fight. She wanted to fight her. And it looks like that's what happened, and she came out on top. The other big fight was Devin Haney against George Camboso. And George Camboso Jr., I believe his name is. But Devin Haney defeated George Camboso. It was no doubt that he retained the belts. Devin Haney retained the belts. I think he won all the rounds. Maybe gave Camboso's two rounds. I just think that Devin Haney is too big for Camboso's and probably too big for that division. He's probably going to have to wind up moving up out of that division and moving up to a higher division, and then maybe Kambosos can go and reclaim those belts against in the fight Teofimo Lopez or something like that for a title elimination or just, you know, put the belts back in one of those guys' hands, because that's clearly the I think it'll have to be like Teofimo Lopez, Lomachenko, and Kambosos probably right there for those belts that Devin Haney is probably going to have to drop and move up, because he just looks bigger than Kambosos to me. He just looked bigger. I mean, he just looked bigger, broad shoulders. I just don't think that Kambosos has the size to stay in there with him. And that's a fight that I didn't want to see a rematch of again, because I knew it was going to be pretty much the same thing. And the fight plan didn't change. Devin Haney kept doing what he was doing. The game plan was to throw more hooks, but, you know, the jab was landing. So, I mean, if the jab's landing, you can't get past the jab, why throw hooks? I mean, you can't get past my jab. So, I get it. And other boxing news, we had Deontay Wilder, the champ. He destroyed Robert Helenius, the Nordic Nightmare. The Nordic Nightmare got destroyed by the right hand of Thor by Deontay Wilder in the first round. Deontay Wilder threw a combination like a 1-2, and I thought he had hit him with the I thought Deontay Wilder caught him with the doggone with a left, because I know he looked like he jabbed him, and then I thought he hit him with a right hand, but it looked like he hit him with a left. I got to go back and look at it, because I'm picturing it in my mind, but I know it was a hard shot. It was a hard shot. Whether it was a left or a right, he knocked him out. I don't know if it was a hook off the jab, or if he just threw two right hands. I don't know. I got to go back and look at it. But whatever he hit him with, I heard the audio playback. It was not a fake punch. It wasn't no setup fight. It's just the fact that maybe Deontay Wilder was somewhat familiar with Robert Helenius' fighting style, because they did spar before. I don't know how long they sparred, but, I mean, you know, it was a hard, real right hand that would have put anybody out. Same kind of right hand he's put people out with before, and everybody know that right hand is devastating. And he hit Robert Helenius with that right hand, and it put him to sleep, you know. So congratulations to Deontay Wilder for being back. I can't wait to see him and Alexander Usyk. Usyk does not have a chance against Deontay Wilder, because once he feels his power, he's going to lay down too. So you can say him, Andy Ruiz, and whoever else. Whoever gets in there with Deontay Wilder besides Tyson Fury, they're going to go to sleep. They're going to lay down. For whatever reason, you can give him a good fight. You can try to outbox him. But like he says, you got to be perfect for 12 rounds against Deontay Wilder. He only has to be perfect for one split second, just like with Robert Helenius, perfect example. Robert Helenius needed to be perfect in that first round to get to the second round. Deontay Wilder didn't need to be perfect. He just needed to be perfect for that split second in the first round. In other boxing news, we have the grudge match with the Fast Hands, Caleb Sweet Hands Plant put out Andre the Dog Durrell. Caleb Sweet Hands Plant defeated Andre the Dog Durrell by knockout and attempted to – he said he was going to end Durrell's career. I think he did it. He said that he was going to go out in dramatic fashion and knock him out. I think he did it. And he said he was going to bury him, and he did it too. He simulated a shovel and some dirt, throwing dirt on top of him. And people got upset about that, trying to say, oh, it's a racial thing. It's a racial thing. It ain't a racial thing. I feel like he got in the ring. He got out in the press conference on live TV in front of all these kids. And I ain't trying to talk crap about Durrell, but I don't think that was a classy move. It was on live TV. He kept calling the man the B-word, knowing that that man's wife is affiliated with the PBC boxing broadcast, if I'm correct. And if I'm not talking about the right person, I know that if I'm correct, his wife is a boxing contributor on either Fox or PBC. If I'm correct, his wife is a reporter, a commentator, ringside for one or both of those networks. So I want to make sure that I got the right woman, because I know you have one lady. She does the actual show, but I think I might have made a mistake earlier. I don't think that's her, but I do think that if I'm correct, Caleb Plant, Sweet Hands Plant, wife is a ringside commentator. She's affiliated with either Fox Sports or PBC in some role. And I just felt like, and even if I'm wrong about that, that man's wife was listening to that. I think they have a little baby. I don't know if the baby's old enough to understand what he was saying, but, I mean, even when she goes back and look at the interview, when she gets old enough to understand what he's talking about, it's embarrassing. You're on the TV embarrassing this man in front of his family. I don't think that was cool. So when he buried him, you had the Harvey Dock. I think the referee jumped in and tried to tell him, "Hey man, that ain't classy. Come on man, show some sportsmanship." He didn't need to show him no sportsmanship because the real didn't show him no sportsmanship. So it had nothing to do with a white man versus a black man, like Caleb Plant said in the interview. He said race ain't got nothing to do with boxing. Either you can box or you can't. Either you're going to handle your business or you're not. But Darrell made the statement based on what Caleb Plant was saying. I didn't hear it. I think I might have heard it, but I'm not sure because I was working out at the time. I was listening to the interview and watching it. And so he said something about this white boy ain't going to beat me. And I'm like, what does that have to do with him being a white boy? Especially when you say that Sugar Hill is your trainer. Since 13 years old, Sugar Hill been your trainer. And who's the biggest name in Sugar Hill's camp? Who's the biggest name on the Sugar Hill's toolist, if I'm correct? Who is that? Oh, Tyson Fury, the heavyweight champion of the world, undefeated, can't be beat. And you make a statement about somebody being white, but you're in a camp with a white guy, and I ain't saying it just because he in camp with them that he got to like Tyson Fury. I'm just saying, man, you start talking about this white and black stuff, you got to be careful because what happened was you wind up getting embarrassed. And definitely shouldn't have nothing to do with race because I believe Caleb Plant's wife is black or mixed, black and white herself, if I'm correct. So congratulations to Caleb Sweetheart Plant for not only defeating Andre the Dog Darrell, but knocking Andre the Dog Darrell out like he promised he was going to do, and for ending his career like he said he was going to do, because after that knockout, I don't think Andre Darrell should want to come back. This is my platform. I'm going to just say it like that. This is my show, my platform. I'm going to say I don't think he should come back. I honestly was never that impressed with Andre the Dog Darrell. He could kick my butt any day. He could kick my butt for saying this if he ran across me, because, no, I'm not actively boxing anymore, and he is an active boxer. So, yes, he can kick my butt for saying what I'm saying, but this is my show, my platform, and I'm going to give my honest opinion. I was never that impressed with Andre the Dog Darrell. I don't know how he got a belt, but because all these belts are out here, people going up and down in weight, these belts are being delinquent, so somebody got to fight for the belts. Oh, we'll take the top five match, and whoever wins, or we'll do a title eliminator, and we got a vacant belt. But you know, I'm talking about when you get a belt, I'm used to the Hagglers, the Hearns. I came from old school, the Sugar Ray Leonards, guys that had to fight to get these belts and to hold on to these belts. Evander Holyfield, the doggone Riddick Bowes of the world. I'm used to when guys had to fight, Mike Tyson, when guys had to fight to get these belts, Larry Holmes. But now it's set up the way you just got all these alphabet soup belts, alphabet soup organizations. So I really didn't know much about Darrell because I never seen him beat a star. And if it was somebody that was somewhat a star, that's the point that I'm making. I like mega stars. Darrell wasn't a mega star. Caleb Plant was a bigger star than Darrell. I knew Plant was because he fought Canelo Alvarez, and he at least tried to hang in there. He got beat by Alvarez, and he got stopped. But he got stopped by Alvarez. And I don't think Darrell was undefeated. So he got beat by somebody that wasn't Alvarez. So that's the point that I'm making. So I'm glad he ended, and hopefully he ended Darrell's career, because Darrell wasn't that good in the first place, especially to get up there talking crap to Sweet Hands. Sweet Hands had already been in there against the best and took the best of a couple rounds, I think at least to the ninth or tenth round of a 12-round match, or to the ninth round of a 10-round match. He was in there with him. So when it's all said and done, it's not a race thing. I was not offended when I seen Caleb Plant burying Andre Darrell in the ring. I was actually entertained. I was actually entertained because there was an outcome that I was hoping that Caleb Plant got. Because, number one, I was never impressed with Darrell. Number two, Darrell ain't been in there with nobody that I know of that's of no significant name like Caleb Plant has. And number three, I think that Darrell was very rude and disrespectful, using that word and that language on TV in front of children that may have been watching and whatnot. And then then you brought race into it, from what I'm hearing and what I'm understanding. And if that's true, you know, you got what you deserve. And I don't think the referee should have jumped in there and tried to break up anything, because Caleb Plant had the right to bury that man in the ring like he was simulating. So with that being said, those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog. Again, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is broadcasted most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the guest calling in line to the show is 515-602-9687. Time on deck is 9:52 a.m. We're about to close out the show. It's 7 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. It's a warm one. I want to give a big shout-out to the San Diego Padres for making it to the National League Championship Series tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies. Time for that is going to be 5 p.m. Pacific here in San Diego, California, for the first game. We are wishing our Padres good luck tonight to beat the Phillies and take game one. At the same time, the Stogies and Beer Radio Show will be back tomorrow, God willing. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. again, Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like to come on the show and get an interview, DM me at Ferran Sports on Twitter. If you'd like to get on the show as an athlete that wanted to tell your story, as you know, it being a free agency, you can come on the show and tell your story. If you're an artist or a producer in music, you can come on the show and tell your story as well. Just DM me at Ferran Sports on Twitter. And with that being said, we're going to go into some more of our music mix and then go ahead and close out the show and set Black and Fade all soon. So, again, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic was NFL recap and Monday Night Football results week 6. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of an audience listening globally. The host will discuss action from this past weekend in sports. The host will discuss NFL action from week 6 and Monday Night Football. The host will discuss this weekend's results in boxing and Major League Baseball, National League Divisional Series, and American League Divisional Series. This show, the tags on this show are NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, boxing, e-commerce, business, hip-hop, R&B, custom cigars, and craft beers. Stogies and Radio Show, again, we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock a.m. And stand by for some more music, and then we'll be back to close out the show. This has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC. This WBS Chula Vista, California. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer Radio Show is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate the host about the sport they love. I wanted to let everybody know, again, like I always do at the end of my show, stay safe out there. It's flu season. Keep your mask on. Get your vaccinations. Stay safe from monkeypox. I believe it's still going on. Watch your contact. Keep your hands washed. At the same time, keep your mask on again. I want to encourage everybody to love one another out there. Treat everyone the way you want to be treated. Be light, not darkness. We're all one people, one human race. Everybody's all the same. So treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Love one another and stay safe out there. And, of course, like I always say, like I always try to tell everybody, be light, not darkness. Show love. This has been Stogies and Beer, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate about the sport that they love. Stay safe. Have a great day. And I'll see you in the morning, if God willing, at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Time on deck is 9:39 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, and it is 7 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Have a great day. Stay safe. Set black. Fade all.